We're glad to be here tonight. Praise the Lord. Now I'm going to let her testify, and then we're going to make a joyful noise to the Lord.
I'm thankful to be here tonight, thankful to feel the presence of the Lord, because on Saturday night there's no place that I'd rather be than in the house of the Lord, feeling His presence and worshiping Him. I love Him tonight.
Once I was lost in sin, I had no peace within. To save my weary soul, I knew not how. But Jesus came to me, and by His grace I'm free. And now it's different. Oh, so different now. It's different now. Since Jesus saved my soul. It's different now. Since by His blood I'm whole. On shaken hands to sleep, when Jesus rescued me. And now it's different. Oh, so different now. I went to church one day to hear them sing and pray. The preacher firmly used the gospel cloud. He said you must repent. So down the aisle I went, and now it's different. Oh, so different now. It's different now. Since Jesus saved my soul, it's different now. This fire is where I'm home. Oh, Satan had to flee when Jesus rescued me. And now it's different. Oh, so different now. It's different now. Since Jesus saved my soul, it's different now. Since by His blood I'm whole. Oh, Satan had to flee when Jesus rescued me, and now it's different. Oh, so different now. Since debtors held me fast. The die was almost cast. My proud and haughty spirit was not bound. But Jesus Christ came in. He broke the chains of sin. And now it's different. Oh, so different now. Help us sing it. It's different now. See Jesus sang my song. Oh, Satan had to flee when Jesus rescued me, and now it's different. Oh, so different now. It's different now since Jesus saved my soul. Oh, it's different now since by His blood I'm whole. Oh, Satan had to flee when Jesus rescued me, and now it's different. Oh, so different now. Oh, Satan had to flee when Jesus rescued me, and now it's different. Oh, so different now.
Praise the Lord. Everything has changed since Jesus came into my life. And if you don't believe that, you talk to somebody that knew me before, and they'll tell you I'm not the same person. The places I used to go and the things I used to do and the things that I used to say and ways I used to be, it's all different now. since Jesus came into my heart. Well, I'm not going to dilly-dally around anymore with any words of introduction or trying to catch your attention, because if the Spirit of the Lord hasn't caught your attention by now, then who am I to try to catch your attention? I have felt His presence here, and I know that He's in this place. Praise the Lord. And He tells me to go, so let's go. Let's everybody stand. Read from the Word of the Lord. I don't need an introduction here. As I look out over this congregation, I see many familiar faces. If I don't know you, well, I'm Paul Cagle. And I'm glad to be here tonight. And you'll know me better when I get done than you know me right now if you've never met me before. And while you're finding Matthew, the 21st chapter, and verse number 8, I would just like to say this. The wise man Solomon said, "There is no new thing under the sun." And I know that nothing that I'll say tonight will be any new revelation to anybody or anything that they have not heard already. You see, us young people have gotten in on this so far down the line that just about all of it's been told that can be told. It is up to us as young people to do in our ministry like the Apostle Peter said he was doing in one of his letters, "I want to stir up your pure mind by way of remembrance."
Hallelujah.
Amen. This thing's been going on for 2,000 years. It would be foolish for me to say I've got some new thing to say to y'all tonight. But I just want to try to stir up your pure mind if I can for the next few minutes. Will that be all right? Praise the Lord. Matthew 21 and verse number 8 reads like this. "And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitude that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee." Let's lift our hands and thank the Lord for His Word tonight. Hallelujah, Jesus. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the reading of Your Word. We come to this most important part of this service tonight, Lord. You know each and every individual's needs that are met and assembled and gathered in this place tonight. Anoint Your messenger and anoint this word and anoint the ears and the hearts of the listeners, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The scripture text that we have chosen tonight is Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. There, as He rode into the city, the scriptures that we read said, they cut down branches out of the trees and laid them on the road. They laid their coats down on the way that He could pass across on them. And when they went into the city, there was a multitude of people that had gathered and watched this parade, this menagerie of youngins a-squalling and dogs a-barking and dust a-flying and folks a-hollering, and said, "Who is this? What's going on here?" You see, the reason they were making this inquiry was because they did not recognize the Lord for who He really was. Their lives had never been touched by the hand of the Lord. Their eyes had never been opened by the touch of the Master's hand. Their deaf ears had never been unstopped by the hand of the Savior. Their dead had never been restored to them. And their withered limbs had never been healed. And their leprous bodies had never been cleansed. And that was the group of people, the ones that had never come into contact with the Lord, was the group of people that stood that day in the city of Jerusalem and said, "Who is this?" Oh, there was a group of people that was waving branches to Him and laying their coats out before Him. And they said, "This is Jesus." How do I know this is Jesus? I'll tell you how I know that this is Jesus. Because one day I was sitting by the Jericho Road and I was blind and I could not see the light of day. But this man called Jesus came by and touched my eyes. And I can see today because of Him. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. The reason they could say this was because their lives had come into a personal contact with the Lord. And you can never come into personal contact with Jesus and ever remain the same. Did you hear me? I said nobody comes into contact with the Lord and ever is the same from that day forward. You'll either get better or you'll get ornerier. You know that's the truth. You'll either get better or worse. You'll either get well or you'll get sicker. You'll either get saved or you'll be worse sinner than you was before. Because there's something about a personal confrontation with the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't remain the same. The things that you don't understand and the things that you can't explain are the very things that happen to you once you come into contact with the Lord. I know. And some that are here tonight know. Perhaps you're here tonight and you've never been in a Pentecostal service before. Or perhaps you're here tonight and have never had your personal encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm here to tell you that you might as well join us now, because you can never be the same once you've sat in a Pentecostal service. Oh yes, you might be able to shut this preacher up in another 15 or 20 minutes, and you may be able to shut these singers up, and you may be able to stop this music, and you may be able to get away from this praying and this moaning and this groaning, and you might be able to drive away from this church. But I'll tell you what, you'll never be able to get away from what you hear and what you felt when you've had a personal encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you can't ever be the same again. I know. I was raised in church. Can I walk with this one? All right. I don't know how to stand still when I'm preaching. You always have to bear with me, but I'm a walking preacher. A long walk. I was raised in Pentecost, and I was brought up in church, and when I got to be a teenager, I decided, well, I didn't really want to go, but I come from an old Baptist family, and they didn't give you a choice whether you wanted to go or not. My dad said, as long as you swing your legs underneath my table, as long as you sleep in my bed and live under my roof, then you're going to do what I say. And I say, go to church, so let's go to church. So that's what we did. And I told him one day, well, you can make me go to church, but you can't make me sing. You can make me go to church, but you can't make me pray. You can make me go to church, but you can't make me read my Bible. He said, I'm not worried about you saying it. And I'm not really concerned whether you read your Bible or not, but I'm concerned about you being in the house of the Lord. And the reason, I understand it now, why he was concerned about me being in the house of the Lord was, he knew that nobody can sit in the house of the Lord and ever be the same again. And there was one particular night that I'm thinking of, that the Spirit of the Lord was moving, and I was watching the people of God as they worshiped and praised the Lord, and the choir got up to sing, and the preacher got up to preach, and the folks were all praying and worshiping the Lord, and I thought, if I could just get away from this place, if I could just get out of this church, if I could just get away from this singing, if I could just get away from all this smiling, nobody could be this happy. Nobody could really be enjoying church this much. Nobody can really be feeling what these folks are feeling. There's got to be a little tinge of phoniness to some of this tongue-talking business. All of this shouting and jumping's got to be a little bit fanatical. And surely you can still worship the Lord and not go overboard. And maybe we could, I'd invite more people to church if they'd be a little more starchy. But I'm a little ashamed to bring them down here because our folks just get with it a little too much. And if I can just get away from all this, I'll be all right. So directly the lights went out, everybody went home, and I went home, and after our little snacks that we always ate after church, and after I went to my room, and I shut the door, and I prepared myself for bed, and I got in the between the covers, and I got my pillow all knocked up, like I had to get it all bunched up, the way I always do it, and I thought I was ready for bed, but that was just when church was starting. I heard the songs of Zion rolling over and over in my soul. I heard the testimonies of all the saints of God, just like a tape recording, Brother Jackson, going over and over in my mind. You know what I'm talking about? And I heard that preacher's message, and he said, and I heard them folks praying, and I thought it was all over, but it was all beginning, because nobody comes into contact with the Lord and ever remains the same again. You're going to be different. You're going to be changed by the power of God. You can't remain the same. That's why I said these people that were strawing their coats out before the Lord and cutting the branches down out of the tree must have been the number that had been fed when Jesus was teaching, and they were all out on the hillside. He took the little boy's lunch and broke it and blessed it and began to pass it out to him. Some of those that laid their coats down on the road must have been in that funeral procession coming out of the city of Nain that day when that widow's little boy was raised up. And when the procession of death met the procession of life, their funeral procession became a victory march and a glory procession, because nobody comes into contact with the Lord Jesus Christ and ever remains the same. Maybe one of those that was waving Hosanna palm branches to the king was a little woman that, when she had heard about Jesus, had said, if I can touch but his clothes, I know that I will be made whole. And I can see her. Of course, I have a vivid imagination, but I can see her as she must have walked around her house that day preparing to leave to go to find Jesus. Not that he could touch her, but that she could touch him. And as she prepared herself and gathered up her wrap and her pocketbook, and as she was taking and putting the key in the lock, I can just imagine something that went over in her soul said something like this. Just think, soul, when I come home and I unlock this door, I'm not going to be the same as I am right now. The doctors can't help me. And the physicians shake their head and say there's nothing they can do. And I've spent everything that I've got, and I don't have anything left. And I'm not getting any better, but I'm getting worse. But just think, soul, once I've come into contact with the Lord Jesus Christ, I'll never be the same again. Hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. I know it to be the truth. And these that said, who is this, were those individuals who didn't know the Lord. They didn't have the blessing on their life. They had never seen a miracle performed. They had never had a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. They didn't know who He was. They didn't recognize Him to be the Lord. And they said, "Who is this?" But the ones that had felt His touch and the ones that had seen Him move in miraculous ways and seen Him perform all the things that they had seen, and the ones that had been in His midst when various things had happened, said, "This is Jesus." And once you've come into contact with Him, your life can't be the same. I remember when we went to Greenville, Ohio, and you'll excuse the personal references, but I don't know anybody else's stories but my own. And so I'll tell mine and let the other fellow tell his. We went to Greenville, Ohio in 1976. My family then consisted of two sisters, a mom and a dad. Now it consists of a wife and a little girl, but then it consisted of two sisters, a mom and a dad. We went there and started working in a church that had been down real low. And as the Lord began to move and the Spirit of God began to flow and we began to have revivals with various young men, in fact, your own brother Dick and sister Debbie came and held us two meetings, brother Joy and sister, brother Russell and sister Joy, don't tell her I did that, came and helped us a meeting, and the Lord blessed us many times with them. And I was thinking of a particular incident of a man whose family had come to church, and everybody had been working on this fellow to get him to come, but they couldn't get him. And he said, "Well, I can't go over there because that's a Pentecostal church, and my granddad and my dad would roll over in their grave if I ever stepped inside a Pentecostal church, because they were of a denominational name that I won't mention. But there's a lot of them in the South." And they said, I can't go in there." And so we said, "Well, don't worry about it." And they said, "What do you mean, Brother Cagle?" I said, "Don't worry about it. I said, you testify to him at home. You live the life before him, and he'll see the change in you." It was a wife and five children, all teenage children. And we baptized all of them. They'd all received the Holy Ghost. I said, "You live the life before him, and you let the Lord do the rest." Now, that's the way I believe it and teach it. So you know what happened? It rolled around Christmas time, and I got a bright idea. Now, somebody here might not agree with this, but this was my bright idea, and it worked for this particular incident. Now, I don't know of anybody else that would do it, and I'm not real sure I'd ever do it again. But this fella played bluegrass music. He had a group that played. He had a fella that played the mandolin. Another one, he picked the banjo, and another one picked the dobe, and another one had a couple open-mouth guitars. And I mean, you talk about bluegrass music. And, of course, there in the southern part of Ohio is just right there, northern Kentucky is really what it is. And that really went over big. And I told them fellas, I said, "Would you be willing to bring that group to our Christmas banquet?" Now, we weren't in the sanctuary. We wasn't even in the church. We was over in a building next to the church. And I said, "Now, there's a few things, though. You can only play Christmas music or church music. We don't want any Wildwood Flower and, you know, going down to Cripple Creek. But if you'll keep it Christmas songs and church music, we'll let you play." And they said, "All right, we'll be there." So we set them up a place for them to come, and so they came. And so while we was there, our folks just started mingling in with them and talking to them, not talking even about the Lord necessarily, although I'm sure it did come up before they left, but, you know, just getting acquainted with them. And then that fella said, "You know something," he told his wife later on, we heard about it, said, "You know something," said, those folks aren't nearly what I thought they were. He said, you know, there wasn't a soul there that tried to calf rope me and had any of that Holy Ghost hocus pocus dust or shower out on me, and I didn't have nobody, you know, hog tie me and try to get me in there and try to baptize me or nothing. He says, you know something? He says, I believe I'll go with you tomorrow night. She said, all right. So Sunday morning, she come running in the door. She said, Brother Cable, Brother Cable, I've got the best news. I said, what is it? She said, Rex is coming to church with me tonight. I said, well, good. I said, why don't you tell him to bring his banjo with him? And I'll have him pick a good number while we collect the offering. And that fella said, you mean he wants me to...
going to church anymore, and he wasn't going to go over there anymore. In fact, he wasn't even
down our street, but we're taking off of that roof when he came into town, because there was something drawing, something that was drawing, like a magnet that was drawing. And he said one night as he was sitting in the chair and all the family was gone, he thought, well, I'll watch TV. So he turned the television on, and Billy Graham had a special on. They're singing church music, so he turned it off. So he said, well, I listened to the radio. And he said, somebody fiddled with the knob on that radio and got it on one of those religious stations. And he said, there was church music playing on that station. He said, I shut it off. And he said, well, I'll just pick up a magazine and read it. And reached over the magazine rack and picked up somebody's Sunday school quarterly, and it was open to the lesson for that day. And he threw the floor. And he said, I reached over and put my hand on the stand that was beside the chair and tried to get up out of the chair and laid my hand on the Bible, and somebody had it opened up to Acts 2:38. And he said, what's the use? And fell on his face beside the chair. And while we were worshiping and praising the Lord in an old special apostolic service, God praise so. And he couldn't wait. He was one of these that couldn't wait to come to church. He called us in. It was January and it was cold. And let me tell you, if you've never been in Ohio in the wintertime, you don't know what winter is unless you've been to Alaska or someplace close. About 20 below zero. And he said, called us up, and there's about 8 or 10 inches of snow on the ground. We was having a heat spell. It was about 4 or 5 above zero. He said, Brother Cagle, it was on a Monday afternoon. I'll never forget it. He said, I got to be baptized. I got to be baptized. You've got to baptize me in Jesus' name. I said, well, can't you wait? I can't wait. We had service on Thursday night. I can't wait. Jesus might come before Thursday. If he does, I don't wear his name. I've got to be baptized. We said, well, could you let us try to warm the water up? You see, we didn't keep heat in the old building. And so when we would go there many times, we had to take a broomstick and stir the water over there because there was a thin sheet of ice that laid on the top of it. He said, no, I can't wait. I said, well, come on over. If you can stand it, we can stand it. And we baptized him in that icy cold. And I put emphasis on icy water in the name of Jesus. You hadn't baptized until you baptized somebody in cold water. Everybody gets stammered lips. If you don't believe me, you try. But you see, nobody can ever come into personal contact with the Lord Jesus Christ and ever remain the same again. Your life will be changed. You'll be transformed by the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. On and on the list goes. Well, we got about all that band. You should have heard the orchestra play. It sounded like Tennessee Saturday night. We got those musicians to play in our church music.
And it might have been a fancy building,
but it was a hoedown of an old-time brush arbor meeting if you ever heard one. But I'll tell you, there's something about people whose lives somehow or another come into contact with Jesus Christ. They may fuss, they may fume, they may fight you, they may hate you, they may say all kinds of bad things about you. But I'll tell you what, when it's digging on them and when it's eating on them, like it did on some of us that are sitting here tonight, and you know exactly what I'm talking about, just shake your head, I know you do. I'll tell you what, you know, you'll never be the same. You never were the same. You're not the same tonight. You came into contact with the Lord Jesus Christ. On and on the list goes. The people that I've seen walk into churches. I can only use the illustration of places where I've been and worked for the Lord. But I'm sure my fine brother and friend behind me here has got experiences after experience, 10 times what I've got, that can vouch for everything that I've said tonight and declare that it's the truth. I don't care how ornery and how mean, how rough and how tough, what they looked like when they walked in, or what they said to you when they talked to you. But I want you to know something. Once their life was touched by Jesus, and once their bodies was touched by Jesus, and once their heart was stirred by the moving of the Holy Ghost, you'll never be the same. They're not all saved tonight, but they're not all the same either, because you can't be the same. Thursday night, while we were getting ready to dismiss service, one of the young ladies in the way back, you could tell she wasn't a member of our church by the way she was dressed and by the way she had her hair combed and by the way she was painted up and all the jewelry and things that she had on. You could tell what her profession was, and it was no secret among many of the people in the church. They knew that she had a reputation in that town for being a street walker, and of course, us just being new in the town, we'd never seen her uptown, and we'd never seen her outside of the local places, so we had no idea who she was. All we knew was she was a visitor, and of course, we always had people coming in and sitting down in the back, and we didn't really make a big to-do about it other than letting them know that they were welcome to come. But I want you to know, this particular evening, this young lady came. She was hungry for God. She needed a touch from God. Her life was miserable and ruined and wrecked and ravaged by sin. And I don't know what all she was mixed up in, but I know she didn't have a good reputation in the whole county. And I don't know who invited her, and I don't know how she got there, and I still don't know. But I do know one thing, after just what I called, Lord forgive me, but what I called just another mediocre service, where I really didn't think the message went over like it should, and where I really didn't think the singers put everything into it like they should, and when I really didn't think the folks worshiped like they could have, and I thought, and here I was, trying to apologize to the Lord for all that I thought had gone wrong, and how good it could have been, but it wasn't, in my estimation. As we were getting ready to dismiss that night, she stood up and she said, "Can I say something before we go?" And I said, "Yes," and she said, "Oh, I came here empty tonight, and I felt something in this service, and I don't know what's wrong with me." But if she said something, it's down inside my stomach and it's jumping like this. And she said, "I don't know." But she says, "I feel something. And I think it's Jesus." And before we leave tonight, can you pray with me? And I said, "Sure, just come right on." And I thought we'd have to tarry and pray with her. But she made about 6 steps. And when she got about where Brother Howard's sitting, she lifted up her hand like she had seen apostolic people do in that service that night and began to speak in an unknown tongue as the Spirit of God gave out to her. We baptized her that night in Jesus' name. She washed off her eyes, that black stuff run down her face and dripped off her chin that they marked them eyes up with. And she just wiped it and smeared it all over. And she come to church the next night. She didn't look the same. She didn't walk the same. She didn't have the same arrogance and wave about her. Her profession had changed. Her profession of faith had changed. Her walk was different. Her talk was different because she had come into contact with the Lord, and nobody can come into contact with the Lord and ever remain the same. And I'll say this in closing tonight, and I thank you for listening to me. And I thank you for the opportunity to be over here with you, because I always enjoy coming. Maybe you're here tonight and you don't know the Lord. Maybe your life has never been touched by the Lord. Maybe you really don't understand what I've been carrying on and running around up here about tonight. And why we all act so excited, and why we've clapped, and some of us have stood up while others were singing, and why we're smiling all the time, and why we feel such joy and jubilation in our soul. Because once I was blind, but now I can see. Once I was bound, but I had a personal encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ one day. And He broke the chains of sin. And since that day until this, my life has never been the same. Hallelujah. Glory, Brother Wayne. My life has never been the same. When I had that personal encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, from that night till this, my life has never been the same. Everything's different. Everything has changed. If you're here tonight, friend, and you don't know the Lord, I may never see your face again. I'm not planning on going any place far away, but there are chances we might not ever meet again. You may never come back to this church again. I don't know. I hope you do in the morning if this is where you're supposed to be. But if you're a visitor, you may never come back again. You may never hear songs sung with the type of excitement and spirit that we have heard in this place tonight. But I want you to know something, friend. As sure as I stand here right now, you'll never be the same after this service, because Jesus has been here, and nobody ever comes into contact with the Lord and ever remains the same.